outside of the room. What? Who wants some Jesus today? Come on. For reals, who wants some Jesus? I know you do, Mark. And cut that music, DJ. Yeah, right there. That's a good spot. Fire. Thank you, New Season, for letting me be up here. If I didn't have the approval of you guys, the pastors would not let me up here. Trust me on that one. First of all, my name is Larry Williams. I am one of the Dynamic Dual Connection pastors, me and my wife, my beautiful wife, Pastor Sharon. We are a team. I got licensed some time ago, and I was on a hiatus suspension of my license for a little while. And recently, a couple months ago, or how long has it been? Month, two, something like that. It was reinstated. My license was. I went through some things. If you guys want to talk about those things, me and Mark, we talk about them all the time. We have a similar past. Some of it's way in the past and some of it's not too far in the past. But this is the beauty of what I'm going to talk about today, is it doesn't matter what you've been through or where you've been or what you've done. When you put on Jesus, that's all the enemy can see. That's all the enemy can see. And I put Jesus on daily. I put Jesus on daily. And so once again, I want to thank the pastors, Pastor Sean and Pastor Heidi, and New Season, for giving me this opportunity. This is a wonderful place. If you're new here, or if you're still been here for a year or so, and you still haven't decided, is this my church home? I can tell you this right now. My wife and I, some 15 years ago came here, because the church is 16 years old, right? And I always mark that. I always mark that with the church is this old, and we were here a year after they opened their doors. But we knew the pastors before that. Here's the amazing thing: is we looked, because we were from another church, another not really denomination but affiliation, and they were really hardcore Pentecostal. And if anybody's ever been to a good old-fashioned Pentecostal church where they're clapping their hands and they're dancing in the aisles and they're getting down for Jesus, then what's this? What's it? Just say it. Oh, little kids can be released. The little niños. Just say, I thought you guys wanted me to keep something on the down low. I'm like, am I saying something wrong? That am I supposed to keep that a secret? Keep that on the down low, Pastor Larry. Let the kids go. Who let the kids out? Anyways, like I was saying, me and my wife, we, a little background here, we looked to and fro and could not find a church after we left our other church. We left with good reason. There was some unsound doctrine that we tried working through and working around. And we just decided, look, we're just going to leave in peace. We're not going to drag anything through the mud. We're gonna walk away. We're going to take the dust off of our feet, get the dust off our shoes, and just go away in peace. And they wouldn't even let us do that. But anyway, that's another story for another time. Wah, wah, wah. But we did. We looked to and fro. We went all the way to Glendale sometimes. We were Gilbert, Mesa, Apache Junction. We went all the old sorts of churches. And they were good churches. And they had the spirit. They preached the gospel. They did everything according to the word. Good leadership. Good worship service. Some better than the one that we used to be in. And we just never wanted to, didn't feel like we were planted. But when we came here, we felt like God said, this is your spot. And literally, I had so much garbage in my life from just that few 5 years. I used to sit somewhere approximately right here. Actually, where I used to sit is no longer a chair. But I used to sit right here, and the Holy Spirit would get me so much. I don't know if you guys ever seen me cry, but I'm a little bit of an emotional guy sometimes. I can watch The Voice, and if they sing good, I cry. Ask my daughter. She makes fun of me all the time. She's like, Dad, are you crying? No, I yawned. I got an allergy. So anyways, I would sit right here and the Holy Spirit would get me so good. I know the camera's right there. I get it. Sorry, everybody that's on the internet. I was over there. But I would sit over there and about the second song or so, and it could be praise songs where we're all clapping our hands and everything. And I'd be like, oh, Jesus, I feel you right now. And tears would come and snot would come and I'd have to go get behind the railing. Back then, you could actually see the railing. Pastor Heidi, with all her great decorations. Sorry, Pastor Heidi. With all her great decorating, she's got them covered up because it looks weird to have brass in here for some reason. But there's a brass railing back there, and I used to go lean against it. And God would just massage my shoulders and say, son, we got some work to do. We got some work to do. And he was working on my life. You see, because I grew up in church. I knew the truth. And I walked away from it a couple of times. But God is so good that he brings me back every time. And I can tell you right now, I'm not a never say never guy. I mean, I do believe you shouldn't say never. But through the power of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ that dwells in me, I will never return to that mire. I will never return to that mud. In Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that you open ears and hearts right now to your word, Father God. Not my word, but your word. The word that you gave me, the message that you gave me, I believe it's sound, I believe it's true, and I believe it's life-changing. And so I pray right now for open hearts and open minds and ears to hear. Pray that the ears that are closed right now, open them up right now in Jesus' mighty name. The hearts that are stony, that you would soften up the foul ground right now in Jesus' mighty name, that you would touch minds and hearts today. And let's become a better church, a better people for your kingdom. Let your words come forward and my words fall. Father God, we want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. You're going to see me reach for these quite a bit because Pastor Larry can't see as good as he used to. So, the title of this sermon is going to be Let's Be Ready. The reason why I called it Let's Be Ready is because through this message, I believe that you're going to learn how to get ready every day for the battlefield. It's not necessarily, I'm going to be talking about the armor of God, but it's not necessarily just about the armor of God. It's about what we need to do as Christians to be all in. It's about what we need to do as Christians to get ready on the daily. You wouldn't go to work. Most of you guys wouldn't go to work without drinking coffee. That's part of your morning ritual. That's how you get ready. You wouldn't go to work without taking a shower, maybe unless you're in construction. And I know a lot of guys that still don't even do that. They always take a shower every morning. I like to take one when I get home from work because I like to get the day off me. And then sometimes I take one in the morning when I go. So, I mean, I usually don't get dirty laying in a clean bed. but sometimes that's part of my ritual. Sorry if I gross anybody else on the internet. I can see faces here. I can't see yours. But there's all sorts of things we do to get ready. If you go to a job in construction, typically you're getting your tools ready. You could be tool-specific in concrete, tool-specific in asphalt, in carpentry. There's all sorts of things we do. If you're going to a desk job, possibly you got to get your computer ready. All sorts of things. Post-it notes. Who knows what? I don't know that world. So I was in that world for a small period of time in my life, but I decided I liked the outdoor. Thank you, Mark. I understand. I see that hand. I see that hand. But there's all sorts of things we do to get ready, and you wouldn't dare go out the door without doing them. But yet you do go out the door without being spiritually ready, without being ready in your soul, which is your mind, your body, and your spirit. You're not ready to face the world every day as a Christian. And so sometimes, because we're not ready, the enemy sends things to us. And the main place that he sends them to is the battlefield right here in between these things. That right there is connected to our heart, which is connected to our mouth. So the things that we hear or see, the things that go in, the input, are going to come out the output, period. So the more we take in, and I'm not talking about television and movies. I'm not all about staying away from all the secular. Now, you do have to take care of your eyes, and you do need to take care of your ears. That's very important. But I'm not saying cut out completely secular unless God's telling you to, okay, because that's God's will. But I'm not going to be one of those, oh, you got to get away from your rap. You got to get away from all this other stuff. I'm not one of those. What I'm saying is you got to do something that's even more important. Even more important. I want to know if you guys are all in. You know, I believe that God is looking for people who are committed with their whole hearts. And he wants to give us the tools and dress us properly for every day. And he wants us to give us the armor and the weapons that we need in the battles that we face daily. He doesn't want to leave us naked and afraid, but dressed for success. Who wants to dress for success daily? Come on now. If you're going to a job interview, do you go with your ketchup-stained shirt or your salsa beard or nachos on? Christian, I know you've asked some nachos on the breastplate of righteousness. So, I mean, Arby sauce, okay, horsey sauce, you know, all the sauces. We don't go to an interview like that. Typically, we brush our teeth. Can I get a show of hands of people that don't raise your hand if you don't brush teeth? We already know who you are. You can be delivered. 4 out of 5 dentists would approve. So, you wouldn't go to a job interview that way. You get your nicest whatevers. If you don't have money, you go down to Goodwill and get the nicest thing you can find there. If you do have money, you go to Dillard's and you find the nicest thing you can get there. You dress for success. You don't go to the job interview naked and afraid, right? You walk into that job interview, possibly you bounced a resume off of somebody. Possibly somebody's taking you through a pre-interview. And you're ready, man. You're confident. You're ready to go kill that interview. Right? My son, Caleb, he does a lot of sales. Really, that's what he does for a living. He could call himself a landscaper. He could say, I'm in pest control. He could say a lot of things. What he's doing is he's selling himself. He goes to the door, and he's already ready. He has so many weapons he can use in his mind. He's ready to sell, and he gets a lot of them. Probably could sell ice to Eskimos. He's got a gift. It amazes me. But he wouldn't go out thinking nonstop about Taylee, my granddaughter, and just playing with the Jeep that she just got. You know, he wouldn't go out and he would knocks on a door and he says, hey, I want to tell you about my daughter and her pink Jeep. I got this remote control just in case she doesn't drive it right, you know. What are you doing here? Oh, wait a minute. I saw your yard and you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. What you would do is you would get ready. You would get completely ready. And so I have a scripture for you, 2 Chronicles 16:9a. It's going to be in the NLT. And it says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. This is what the Lord wants to do for you. When you go all in, and I really want you to think about this today, because what I've really been feeling a lot lately, and even for my own self, is a strong conviction that a lot of Christians walk through life going to church on Sunday, getting their nice little fellowship in, maybe go to dinner or something once or twice a week, a Bible study or so. Pick up your Bible here and there. Turn on the worship, get your feel-goods. But unfortunately, I don't think that lifestyle is going to work these days. We're coming to a time when our armor needs to be strong. Our armor needs to be stronger. You need a strength. God wants to strengthen you if you're fully committed to Him. If you're all in, and you need to make that decision. This is a decision I want to work up to today for you guys, for us as a church, for myself, for you online. I want us to commit to God fully. It's a personal decision, just like salvation was. If you're saved here today and you said, Jesus, come into my heart. You're the Lord of my life. I'm a sinner. Wash me free from sin. You are saved and you are going to heaven. But you ain't a soldier. You're not. Because if you're not being strengthened by God, and He's looking for a wholehearted person, someone who's really after His own heart. Now, I love you guys. I love you guys. If you're not committed, that's okay. You can still go to heaven. That's fine. But who the heck here wants to buy fire insurance? Christian, don't say a word. I don't just want fire insurance, man. I want to be able to, if I'm at the front line or at the back of the line, I want to be able to know that God's got my 6, my 12, my 9, my 3. He's got me surrounded. I want to be surrounded by angels. I want to be surrounded by God. I want to be surrounded by the things that I need. Don't you guys want that kind of strength? Come on now, be truthful. I can't hear you. Don't you want that kind of strength? I mean, we don't play football without getting ready. Can I get an Ethan in the house? Is he ready yet? Ooh, look at this guy. Come on up here, Ethan. Actually, let's just go right here. Let's go right here. Now, here's a guy. He's a lot like a Wolverine or AKA a honey badger. Have you ever seen this guy play football? You know the word tenacity? You look it up and you're going to see Ethan's face smiling all goofy like that. He's fierce, man. He'll take down a 6'4" giant in a heartbeat. And let me tell you something, though. He don't want to do that without this thing. He don't want to do it without this. You got your belt on? Well, see, right now, me and Ethan are having a dilemma because I would really like to just de-pants him right now, but show him you don't have a belt. No, he don't have a belt. He don't have a belt, so it'd be easy to just take it down, right? If somebody tackled him, he'd be like, pants on the ground, looking like a fool with his pants on the ground. Come on, Ethan, where's that belt? He didn't get ready. He's kind of ready. He looks ready, like, oh my gosh, look at how ready he is. But he's going to get exposed the first time the enemy tackles him. Enemy's going to grab him right here, and yeah, oh, no, we're not doing that. Not that much of an example. Should have worn some shorts, Ethan, dang it. He wasn't ready. He is ready, however, if he gets hit in the head. He is ready if he gets hit in the back or the breast. He is ready if he gets hit in the knee or the thigh. He is ready to stand his ground. He is ready to go forward, not just stand, but go forward with traction. And he's comfortable. Look at them. They look real comfortable. Ankle support, padded. You look like you could really get in somebody's business with those. Thank you, Ethan. You guys, give Ethan a hand. Thank you so much. Go Prospectors. That's right. The first thing I want to talk about, you guys, go ahead and put up the picture for Ephesians 6:11. You see, Ethan came out here partially with the armor. Partially. He actually came out without the one thing that puts it all together. The one thing that puts everything together. Because who in the heck in their right mind wants to run down the field with your pants around your ankles? I mean, unless it's a joke. And I get that stuff. But not when you're trying to perform or score points or keep the other team from scoring points. You don't want to have your pants on the ground. So you want to put on the full armor of God. That's what it says in Ephesians 6:11. And in Ephesians 6:12, go ahead and put that picture up. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and spiritual forces. Okay? And these spiritual forces would like nothing better than to put your pants on the ground and take full advantage of your spiritual pants on the ground. That's what they want to do. That's what the enemy wants to do. And people that side with the enemy, yeah, there are people that side with the enemy. If you're one of those people that think, oh, everybody, yeah, everybody's got a chance. Everybody has a chance to make heaven their home if they confess Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. But there are people that literally want to be on the other side. And they are a part of God's, or not God's agenda, but the enemy's agenda. If we could get this big, long section of scripture up next, I want to read to you from the message because it has, I just like how it paraphrases. It says, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued. So that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. And it goes on in verse 18, and it says, keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Oh, you got it right there. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. You see, when you are wearing the full armor of God and you've girded up every day and you padded up every day and you got your helmet of salvation on and you got your cleats on, your nice comfortable shoes, and you're ready to go forward. Miley bought me these shoes on Christmas. And let me tell you something. I've really never had a pair of shoes like them. They're very interesting. They give a lot of arch support. And even though I'm probably 50 pounds overweight, I feel like I could run almost like when I was in high school sometimes.
Sometimes.
Not quite, though, right, Sean? Not quite. We're not there. But, yeah, feelings can be deceiving. But right here, this gives the whole breakdown, the whole list of everything that we're going to be going over through. So let's break it down right now. I talked about how Ethan didn't have a belt on, and the first thing we're going to talk about in the armor is the belt of truth or the girdle of truth. And in a breakdown, a description, a girdle is something, especially in Roman times, when Paul was really describing what was going on here. He was really giving us a picture of the Roman armor and how everything worked. And when he's talking about the belt of truth or the girdle of truth, it literally cinched everything together, just kind of kept the whole thing together, even more so than it did with Ethan's outfit. But once again, if you don't have it on correctly or you don't have it at all, your pants will be on the ground, or in Roman times, your skirt or your loins. And that would not be a very good thing. So a girdle or a belt will gird up your loins and keep you ultimately protected in a great way. I have a little bit of an embarrassing story about when I was in track. This is before big shorts or spandex were a thing. Spandex shorts were starting to come in, and we'd wear our track shorts over them, and the spandex would typically go down to here. I was a poor boy growing up in apartments here in Apache Junction. Couldn't afford a lot of things. Barely could afford my track spikes. Didn't ever have the best of anything. I just was blessed with the talents and abilities. But I was in Gilbert at a track meet, and I was wearing some garbage underwear underneath some runner shorts. And the garbage underwear was not girding up my loins. And I was in the middle of a race, and I felt like something bad was happening during the 100. I felt like there was going to be way too many witnesses. And so I slowed down. I was winning the race. I started slowing down, trying to get my stuff right. And I finished the race second, but I could have finished the race first easily. And my coach comes up to me and says, "Hey, dude, what happened, man? What happened?" And I couldn't tell him. I was so embarrassed, I couldn't even tell him. Needless to say, I never wore those underwear again. And I started wearing spandex, and everything was girded really well so that I could run the race. I never had that problem again. Lesson learned. But how often do we go and get in a race and leave that stuff in the wind? Huh? Tell me. Talk to me, church. Let's be honest with ourselves right now. Talk to yourself. Talk to your neighbor. We all got stories like that. Physically, spiritually, mentally. We all have stories like that. It's not just Pastor Larry. Okay? It's not just, I see that hand, I see that hand. We all can confess to ourselves and then confess to our Lord that we have gone out without girding ourselves. Well, here it's glasses time. The definition is definition number two in the Collins English Dictionary. It is a verb. If one thing girdles another, it is sound. So if what the dictionary is saying by definition is if you want to be sound, you have to make sure that you're girdled. You have to make sure the belt is tight. You have to make sure everything's put together. Stand your ground by putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. So what the belt is righteousness. Oh, there it is. In verse 14 of chapter 6, it says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. That's what the belt is. The belt is righteousness. Now it's time to preach. How many people have a past? Oh, I should see every hand because we all have a past. Okay, how many people don't have a past? Oh, okay, that's better. That's unanimous right there. Everybody's got a past. Some have more checkers than others. Some have more spots than others. But guess what? If you have one spot, you don't pass. If you have one spot, you don't pass. That's what my word says. So, your righteousness is like filthy rags. Your own righteousness. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says. It says it in Isaiah 64:6. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. So if we're to put on righteousness, the belt of truth, it's not your belt you're putting on. It's not your girdle you're putting on. Folks, the key to putting on the belt is putting on Jesus' belt. Not ours. So you want to put on righteousness, but you're not going to put your own righteousness on. You're going to put on the righteousness of Jesus. And this is how you're going to do it. The application of God's word in my life. If we don't apply God's word in our lives on the daily and completely, then the enemy will get the victory. In other words, you're not going to get first place in a race. Simply put, your pants are going to end up on the ground just like Ethan was over here with no belt. Okay? Pants on the ground, not finishing first. This is all bad. Tell this. Oh, I already told that story. This is simply applying the truth to our lives daily. The true word of God. The truth, it never fails, and the truth, it never ends. It will be the same today, tomorrow, and forever. The truth is the truth. If I was to tell the truth today, it'll be, I like to use 5, 5, and 5. It'll be the same in 5 years, 15 years, and 50 years. It'll always be the same, 500 years. It'll always be the same. It is infallible. That is why the word of God is infallible, because it is the ultimate truth. So, to put that on, also this talks about the armor of God. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness. Okay? So, putting on truth, and we also need to put on righteousness. And like I said before, we all have a past. We're not putting on our own righteousness. We're putting on Jesus' righteousness. So let's go ahead and move on to the shoes of peace. Did you guys get a good look at Ethan's cleats? They are nice. Bravo. That was a good spend. Cleats are really important in football, and they're also really important. Shoes are really important in life. How important are your shoes, Miley? Yes. Miley tends to like to accessorize her fashion with her shoes. It's a really important thing to her. For her to be in fashion, she's got to have the Vans, the not the latest or anything. She likes to get the kind of either the simple or the off a little bit. I got you. I know. My daughter has good taste, and it keeps her going with confidence. When you have a good set of shoes, you could do things with confidence without even thinking about it. I can remember one time we went and played Prescott High School from Apache Junction. And we got there to their high school football field. And you guys know what a crown is? A crown is where they elevate part of a field or a road so that snow or water will shed either direction. The crown in this field, literally, you could look from one sideline to the other and you could only see heads or shoulders. That's how tall the crown was. Ridiculous. But it does snow in Prescott. I kind of understand. But what they did was they had about 4 inches of grass right during warm-ups, and they brought the mower out. And instead of bagging the grass, they left it on the field. We all had fixed cleats from Apache Junction because we're desert boys, right? We don't want them 3/4-inch screw-ins. Well, guess who had the 3/4-inch screw-in cleats that were easy to clean after every play? Prescott did. Guess who didn't? Apache Junction. Guess who ran the ball 16 times for 25 yards? It was a slip and slide. Ridiculous. Literally, like, my cleats were like this, and the grass was sticking out beyond my cleats. So packed in there. Gee. Yes, sir. They did, and they won the game for it, too. But let me tell you something. Had I had the right pair of cleats, the holes were there. My running ability was there. I'd literally be running up a hole, and here come a linebacker. I just had to put one move, and I'm probably going to get 10 yards, maybe a touchdown. And I did that in many, many other games, but not this game, because as soon as I make my move, whoop, on the ground, right where the enemy wanted me. They hardly had to touch me. I was going to go down. Did we put 6:15? Yeah. So verse 6:15 is up, and it says, "For the shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared." In Romans 5:1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." When we are at peace with God, we can stand against anything. Have the full confidence in standing on the foundation that are the shoes of peace, also known as the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. So the shoes of peace come through having faith in Jesus Christ. You want to put on the shoes spiritually every day. Remember, get up from your bed. Remind yourself, I believe in the gospel. I believe in the good news. The good news is Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. The good news is Jesus heals. The good news is Jesus delivers. The good news is greater that is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. These are the shoes of peace. All of these things, every word, every scripture you can name about Jesus Christ. And they're all over the Bible, by the way, even in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is not separate from the New Testament because it speaks of Jesus. The whole Bible talks about Jesus. And so every gospel scripture you can think of are your shoes of peace. It's going to help you stand. It's not only going to help you stand, but it's going to help you spring to action. It's going to help you gain ground. And the thing is, Christians, if you're not gaining ground somewhere in your life, you're losing it. Listen to what I'm saying here. This is really important. If you're not gaining ground in your life, in your Christian walk, you're losing it. This is how armies and countries and warlords take things. Okay? We have a Lord, and let me tell you something. He is a warlord. He wants to wage war on hell. And he wants you guys to pluck people out of hell and get them in heaven. He wants you guys to set that up. I love that my man right here wears that John 3:16 hat, and he wears it proudly everywhere he goes, because that is the scripture right there that talks about salvation and how it works. That is our motto, you guys. That is how we walk around. That's how we take fields. Caleb, when we used to take the field as mud dogs, how did we do it? We put on a show, didn't we? We had banners. Yeah. We would start coming and everybody would be in unison. Two, 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 like that. We'd be coming in and there was a guy with a banner. And then on the backside, we had a cart with two more banners on it. Okay. And the coaches would be jogging just with them, right? We went into, what was that? That's what you do. You talk the big talk, you got to back it up. We talk a big talk here in church, don't we? Oh my God, he saves. Oh my God, he heals. Oh my God, he can do anything. Then we walk out the door. And then we come in on Sunday morning again. Who had a bad week? Sorry, Hannah. Who had a bad week? Who had a bad week? I had a bad week. But it's true, though. We come in and get refreshed. We do. It's nice to come in and get refreshed. How about we start becoming the refresher? Huh? How about you be that oddball Christian on Sunday morning when everybody's like, oh, man, I had a week, Jordan. It was horrible. Oh, my God, this happened, that happened. I had to kick my dog. It was a bad week. But my dog kicked my wife. And it was a bad, bad week. How about being that annoying Christian? Hey, brother, what's up, man? How's it going? Oh, you're not feeling too good? Oh, man, God's got this, bro. God's got this. You're like, man, get off of me. Let me be in my depression until at least the second song of worship. It's true. We do these things. It's okay. I'm not coming against you. I am you. Trust me. I'm talking about the need to be all in. Let's get ready. Let's get ready every day. We talked about the belt, okay? We talked about the breastplate. The breastplate just doesn't protect the front, by the way. It protects the rear, too. And what's amazing about the breastplate is it's like God surrounding you when you put on the breastplate of righteousness. Sorry, I forgot that point, and I wanted to make that point for sure. I know we've already moved on. But I definitely wanted to make that point. The shoes of peace, faith. George Michael wasn't the only one who said we got to have faith. Jesus said it first. When we are at peace with God, we can stand against anything. In Psalms 42, chapter 40, verse 2, it says, he lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. This is what our shoes of peace do. He wants to lift you out of the mud and the mire. Sunday mornings don't got to be that way no more. Saturday evening doesn't have to be that way no more. Monday morning don't have to be that way no more. Who has Mondays? Who has Mondays? Don't be honest. Go ahead, raise your hand. No more. No more. Let's carry this with us daily. I know Mondays still stink, but let's make them better. Let's make Mondays great again. Let's move on to the shield of faith. In Ephesians 6:16 in the NLT, it says, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. The enemy, Satan, wants to rule your mind. Could it be? If you're not an old Saturday Night Live fan, then you don't know that one. But for the three that are laughing right now, thank you very much. Dana Carvey's great. Anyway, this is not the gospel of Dana Carvey. Sorry, Pastor Sean. The shield of faith. The enemy wants to throw doubts into our mind. He wants to throw hatred, dark thoughts, jealousy, pride, guilt. I cannot say this enough. The enemy is after your mind. The enemy is after your mind. The enemy wants to make a place in there and reside in there. If we don't have the shield of faith stopping these fiery arrows, it will burn holes in your mind. Hey, my resident Viking, how important is a shield? Very important. It's your life. It's your life. Our mind is our life. What's one thing that they used to do a lot with whenever the fire was coming with the shields? To protect yourself. But didn't they used to soak them in water? Yeah, they used to soak them in something that was fire retardant, usually water. Usually water. There was different clays and things that they could use back in the day too, powders, but usually it was water. And let me tell you something. God wants your mind. He wants your thoughts. He wants you to think about Him. He doesn't want the enemy to have a place there. So, how can I put the shield of faith on? That's simple. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. So simply by you listening right now to all these scriptures that are being said, and we're reading the scripture and we're talking about the word of God, simply by these things, your faith is growing right now. Your faith is growing, and your confidence level is also growing because you're learning how to get dressed in the morning and how to take on the battles of life. God sincerely wants to have a place in your mind. So what are some of the things we can do? We can read our Bibles more. We can worship more. We can get together in fellowship and talk about the great things of God and what He's done in our lives. I got some recommendations for you men. Talk to Jacob. Talk to Mark. Talk to my brother Michael. Talk to any of the Eds. Pick an Ed. Any Ed. We have some great men in here. Me and Brother Jacob used to break down theology in our own nerdy way sometimes, but sometimes I'd go away from Jacob, edified, feeling good about my faith, knowing that team ministry is more than just throwing bags on a cornhole board. We used to throw bags and we'd call each other team ministry. Anyway. That went over like a lead balloon, Jacob. You should have told me. Edify one another. help each other grow in the faith. Look to your left and look to your right. It's your responsibility for that person. For you, Pastor Jody, literally to your right. But it's your responsibility for your brothers and your sisters. If we need to get to know each other even more, let's get united. Let's get some numbers out there. I'll be discerning, of course. Be discerning, of course. But what I'm saying is, if you're not discipling somebody or you're not being discipled, you're not growing. It takes both. You got to be discipled and you have to disciple. That's how that works. That is how the shield of faith works. When the enemy starts to throw these thoughts into our mind, we need to have faith in God. That our shield of faith, the enemy wants to throw lies at you, and God doesn't love you, that God doesn't want to use you, that you're not saved. He wants to throw bad thoughts in there. Like, you're not a believer. You doubted God. How could you doubt God? He wants to say those things to you. I got one for you guys. This one might hit home. Little babies or little children dying for any reason. How can there be a God when he let that happen? The Word talks about that. The Word will comfort you in that, if that's your situation. Or just a loved one dies, especially someone who was serving God. How could God let that happen? How could God let that happen? Shield of faith. Wet it. Wet it by reading your Word. Wet it by worship. Go watch some old videos of Pastor Sean, some old stuff from Pastor Jody, some Stephen Furtick, something. Get some Word. You know what amazes me? Let me tell you something about this church and this work. And I know Jacob can back me up on this one, and Jordan. We talk to Pastor Sean about this stuff all the time. Well, we listen to other things, podcasts and preaching and things like that. It's amazing how often a message will come across this pulpit, and then you hear it that week from another pastor, and another pastor, and another pastor. That's confirmation of the Spirit of God, folks. That means the Spirit is flowing from this pulpit right here. That's something to be excited about, because you're getting fed the good stuff. You're not getting that school cafeteria swill. You're getting good stuff. You know, how many people here like to go to a scratch kitchen versus that bagged up stuff that they serve you, that swill? Yeah, I have a little secret for that, how to find a good scratch kitchen. You know, to find a good scratch kitchen, you just got to find a place where they brew beer. Seriously. They all have a good scratch kitchen in the back, and because they want to serve you good food. I'm not saying go drink the beer. I'm saying go eat that good food. Go eat that good food. That's the kind of food that's being served right here. You will find message after message. One time I remember I was praying something to God, and it's so funny. God is so faithful. It's not funny. It's funny. Coincidental, not funny. Ha ha. But I was watching TV, and Stephen Furtick, he comes right out of his mouth. There's somebody out there, and they're thinking these thoughts, and they just asked God this, and he went verbatim. And I was like, oh, my God, that was crazy. What a coincidence. And I walked away from that word. I mean, it came from the TV. Seriously? How would Stephen Furtick know who I am? Well, he didn't. The Spirit of God does. That's why I walked away. I didn't think nothing of it until one said, Pastor Jody Rogers came to me and said the same thing Stephen Furtick said. And then I thought, whoa, that's crazy. Because how does she know what Stephen Furtick said? She must have watched the same sermon. Pastor Sean, who I know hardly ever watches Stephen Furtick once every blue moon, Ken and me said the same thing. Three times confirmation. That is the Spirit of God. God is so faithful, and that is how faith gets built. That is how faith gets built, and that is how we put up our shield of faith. Because you know that you know that you know. The more you let God in, the more evident the lies are, the more discernment you will have. So keep letting God in. Let truth reign in your mind. When truth reigns in your mind, lies stick out like a sore thumb. Theology that is wrong sticks out like a sore thumb. I see stuff on TV all the time and probably annoys my wife and my daughter. And I'm like, that ain't right. Well, of course it's not right. I'm not watching 21 or some good Christian station. It's a secular station. Hello, that theology is wrong. Imagine that. But I see it all the time. I even see it on Channel 21. I see it all the time. The reason why is because I have good fellowship. I get in my word. I get other sources. I'm not holier than thou. I'm just a regular dude doing regular Christian things to become a greater Christian. That's what you can do. You're a regular Christian in here doing regular Christian things. Hey, aren't Christians supposed to read their Bible? We believe in Jesus. There are the words about Jesus. How do we become a follower? How do we become a believer? How do we ultimately believe in Jesus? Read your Bible. Over and over and over. You know what's amazing about the Bible? This is not even in my notes. Who was I talking to about this other day? You can read the same scripture today that you read in 6 months and that you read in a year. It was you. That's who it was. All three times will be not completely different, but you'll get something different out of it. I was thinking about Jesus what the other day? One simple little scripture, and I had to remember why Jesus wept. And so I went back to the word and I looked, and it said Jesus wept because you know who died, right? I don't mean to sound like Joe Biden. You know the thing. You know who? The thing. No. Lazarus died. His great friend. The Bible calls him his great friend. And so he goes back and he's told. And at first it says Jesus was angered. Oh, I love my Lord. He could get angry, but he sinned not. That means we can do it too. But then it says three words. Then Jesus wept. And just a flood of revelation and information came my way through that one scripture. Mostly because of the backdrop. Really what that was telling me was when somebody that Jesus loves dies, it bothers him. He had multiple emotions and he wept. What weeping is not crying. Weeping is like really just uncontrollable. Yeah, feeling it just really core type crying. And God tells me at that moment, he says, if I can feel that bad for someone who died and I'm going to be in paradise with, I'm going to be in heaven with, think about how much I worry about you living your life, how you feel right now. Jesus also weeps about what we go through all the time. We're going through hard times. He doesn't only want to give you strength, but he wants to be right there by your side. He is right there by your side, hugging you, loving you, massaging you, telling you it's going to be okay. I've had a recent death, a friend of mine from high school, and I've been going back and forth to God about it. I was a not-so-good teenager at one time, and his house was one of those houses I could go crash, if you know what I'm saying. It was a safe place. Mom and Dad loved me there. He loved me. His sister loved me. It was a great, it was like another family. And he passed away recently. something I've been dealing with. But God wants to weep with me. He wants to weep with you. He wants to love on you. Let me get back on my notes here. Let's go to the helmet of salvation. So far we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We have the shoes of peace. The shield of faith. Let's talk about the helmet of salvation. Put on salvation as your helmet, it says in Ephesians 6:17a in the NLT. The mind is the main battleground, and the enemy wants to occupy your thoughts. Romans 8:5. Those who are dominated by a sinful nature think about simple things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Listen, I cannot stress this enough. Please, if you have ears to hear, if you have an open heart, if you want to be the Christian that God wants you to be, hear me now. The enemy wants your mind. I know I said this before, but you got to realize something. This is the main battlefield. Your mind is the main battlefield. We have to put on the helmet of salvation. How do we put on the helmet of salvation? You're like, wow, you told us how to do all these other things, and it seems like you're being repetitive. Well, how we put on the helmet of salvation is by giving our mind or our thoughts over to the mind of Jesus. You say to Jesus, you say, think through me, O Lord. Fill your mind with the things of the Lord. Once again, whether it be just listening to sermons or reading your word or even just audibly turning on the word of God where you push play on your device. I've had some of my best readings where I do that. I'm like, wait a minute, I need to go back to that, and then I'll go do a little study. Not a major read, but just a little study. Filling your mind with scriptures. I get scriptures that pop to mind all the time when people are going through things or I'm going through something, and I can't remember the address, but then I just go to Google or I go to my Bible app and I put the search mode on, and it's amazing how Google can find it faster than my Bible can sometimes. But Google can... Did I just turn on someone's Google? Google, go away. But we simply need to let Jesus take control of our thoughts by his word. And I'm not talking about like master of puppets type of thing. This is a submission that we're doing. We're not a puppet. We are a people. You're a soldier. That's why Paul describes this as armor, because you're going into battle. But if you're a soldier and you have a mind of the general, won't you be better in the battle? I'm going to say that again, because I only got 3 amens, but I should get 52 amens at least. If you are a soldier and you know the mind of the general, won't you be better in the battle? That's right. You'll be so much better. And not only that, but you're going to go up in rank too. You're going to go up in rank real quick. I know when somebody that I've hired or is appointed underneath me at a job site and they start to pick up on things faster, I move them along. You were valuable there. You're going to be more valuable here. Oh, you already picked that up. Let's go over here. Come on, let's do. Hey, boss, this guy needs a $2 raise. $4? Okay, that's good too. That's how that works. Raises in the kingdom of God sometimes come with $25 gift certificates to Olive Garden. I'm just joking about that. Hey, I love Olive Garden. Free's the best ticket, you know what I'm saying? No, you don't do it for the gift certificate. You do it for God. Study your Bible. It talks about mansions in heaven and things like that, and rubies and gold. and diamonds and things like that as a reward. But don't even do it for that. Do it for the souls. Do it for your strength. Do it because you want to be the commando of all commandos for Jesus. There's a reason why Pastor Sean calls Pastor Jody a ninja. What? He called her a ninja before she had those swords. And by the way, those are samurai swords, which relatively similar. Unless you're from Japan or China. The reason why Pastor Sean calls Pastor Jody a ninja, because a ninja is someone who masters a lot of weapons and a lot of martial arts. A ninja just doesn't have, they're the original MMA. A ninja just doesn't have one discipline. They have multiple disciplines. They have multiple disciplines and they know how to use multiple weapons. Pastor Jody has mastered the art of putting on the armor of God. Do you ever wonder why you can go up to a nice lady like her who at a distance or in a picture looks like one thing, but when you're talking to her, she becomes a greater creature. She becomes more magnificent. She becomes more amazing, a source of strength, a source of great character and integrity. And right now, if you guys are cold, just get around Pastor Jody because she's blushing so much, you feel the heat. But no, it's true. Anybody who is full of the word is going to be so strong. So strong. So strong. Doesn't mean that she doesn't get questions. It doesn't mean that she doesn't doubt God sometimes. Let me tell you guys something about doubting God. If the devil tells you, I can't believe you doubted God, you must not be a believer. No, that makes you an increased believer. When you doubt God, God can never be closer to you. When you doubt him and question him, if you truly are doubting and questioning God, he will answer you. He will. But don't doubt God and go, I'm out of here. And never ask a question. God's like, whoa, what happened? You ever have someone do that to you? Sucks, don't it? Sorry, Pastor Roddy. It stinks, don't it? It does. You're like, what just happened? God does the same thing with us. God does the same exact thing. Like, why did you walk away? We were talking here. You got mad, but that's okay. I get it. I know what that's like. Remember when Lazarus died? It says he got angry. But he didn't sin. He got angry. And then he wept. And then he did this. He took his shoes apiece. Say, yo, this is happening right now. I don't care how much those bandages stink right now. I don't care that your finite human mind can't handle that a body has become a corpse and it's been dead for 4 days in a sealed tomb. Unseal the tomb is what my Lord said. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. Richard Cook, you guys go to church with somebody who's been raised from the dead. Close to 20 minutes. Flatline. Close to 20 minutes. How many of you guys would have been like, well, he's dead. I was there. And I was like, well, he's dead. But Pastor Sean was in the back room with them, and he was on the phone with his higher-ups. And one of his higher-ups said, Pastor John Lacy-Loggy, he said, well, does he have work to do? Well, then get him off his lazy back. Go pray on him. Bring him back. If he's one of yours, you go claim him. Take him back in Jesus' name. And that's what Pastor Sean did. And let me tell you something. Since then, he's become such a pillar of this church. He was a pillar before, and he continues to be a pillar now. Richard Cook. I am so glad my brother is here and not in heaven, although sometimes I bet you he wishes he was in heaven. Because life can be tough. Let's go on right now and finish about the helmet of salvation. So once again, To put on the helmet of salvation, you just give your mind over to Christ. Your thoughts are his thoughts are your thoughts. That is the helmet of salvation. That is what saves your mind. Now, let's go to the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17b, NLT. It says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is the word of God. Now, I want you to notice something here. We got the belt of truth, okay? We got the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Then we have the shoes of peace. The belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, covering our 360. Belt of truth holding everything together. Then we have the shoes of peace so that we gain traction, so that we can go somewhere. And peace comes through faith. Then we have the shield of faith to quench the fiery arrows that the devil is trying to put in your mind. And then we have the helmet of salvation, also protecting our mind once again by making his thoughts, and our thoughts his thoughts. And now, without having all these other things, we couldn't have had this one thing. The sword of the Spirit. Everything else was about defense. A little bit of gaining ground. But if you don't have a weapon in your hand and you keep going forward, eventually something's going to get chopped off. Sorry. Eventually something's getting chopped off. But the sword is something completely amazing. Even Jesus needed it when he was wearing the flesh suit. When Jesus went and got baptized and he left the river, he was, the Spirit summoned him to the wilderness to go on a 40-day hiatus away from everything and fast and to get in the Spirit. That happens in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And Jesus even had to use the sword of the Spirit to defeat the enemy. Three times the devil tempted him, and three times he used scripture to defeat him. He didn't say, well, I don't think that's right. He didn't, and even if he did, he's the word of God. So, but he didn't say that. He gave us an example. He used the word of God, the scriptures, to defeat the enemy. Now, how are you going to swing your spirit if you ain't in your Bible? How are you going to swing your sword if you ain't in your Bible? How are you going to be able to cut the enemy down if you ain't in your Bible? It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Think about how fine that is. What an instrument we can have and wield and use. Have you guys ever watched an amazing swordsman, like a samurai or somebody who really knows how to use a claymore, which is truly a two-edged sword, and so is a samurai sword? Somebody who knows how to use a samurai sword, right, can really cut. And like it says, cut to the marrow. You could cut through bone with a samurai sword. That is how we can cut our enemy down in such an amazing way. That's the sword of the Spirit. So having done all of these things with the armor of God, like we talked about before, now we can wield our sword. That's how you put that on. That's part of your armor. It's something that automatically shows up into your hands once you've done everything else correctly. But until you protected your mind, until you put the shoes of peace on, until you have the faith, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, you cannot have the sword of the Spirit. Now, what is the glue that holds all these things together? Ephesians 6:18 picture, please. In the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Prayer is the glue that holds all things together. All of these things. Next picture, please. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. It says in Psalms 34:18, and in the Message, it says it like this. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. How many people have had a broken heart? Pastor Gail, can I have you come up and play quietly, like ministry time? You can do all of these things that I've mentioned today, daily. And I can guarantee you this. In your own opinion and in your own feelings, and my feelings too, bad things will happen. Because the simple fact is, bad things happen to good people. I'm not saying do this and you'll have an amazing life. Do this and you will have a stronger life. You will have a greater life. You will be going forward and having a better life. But bad things will still happen. The second part of this verse in the Message says, if you're kicked in the gut, He'll help you catch your breath. You ever had the wind knocked out of you? Look at yourself as a sailboat. God wants to put the wind in your sails. He wants to put the wind in your sails, and He wants to send you all over the place. And He wants you to blow on others the way He blows on you. That fresh breath, that fresh wind, that fresh fire, that fresh water. But if you yourself are defeated because you have not dressed right or dressed for success every day, then you can't do that. So like I said before, Christians, if we're not taking ground, we're losing ground. And so today, I want to open up this altar for those of you guys that want to be all in. And we'll pray together. Who wants to be all in? Because I believe that's what's going to revolutionize this church, this ministry. We have leaders all over the nation, all over the world, that are really tired right now. They're beat up. They're broken. They've had a lot of people that they love walk out on them. And they're hurt. They've had bad things said about them behind their backs and to their faces. I include my pastors in that because I've been right here with them for many years. And I even was one of the people giving it sometimes. Giving the hurt. I've been guilty too. I want an all-in church. If you consider yourself right now, I have not been all in. I have not been serving God with everything in me. I have not been putting on the armor of God. I want you to stand right now if you want to be all in. Yes. So where you're sitting right now, let's just go ahead and pray together. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, that this message would not go unheard or unwalked out, Father God. That people would get the gist of this, Father God, that this would rock people to their core. That tomorrow morning, when people are like, I don't want to read right now, that they'll remember, I need to read before I go out. I need some word, even if it's a daily bread scripture, even if it's just something. Maybe you go to bed to it and you remind yourself in the morning. But God, help us, Father God. Strengthen us. Because it says in your word, the very first scripture it said that we read today, it said you're looking for a whole heart of people and you will strengthen us, Father God. So I'm praying right now for strength for all these individuals that are standing right now, all these people that are all in. This is an all-in church right now, Jesus. We love you, Father God, and we thank you, Father, for this opportunity, for this reminder. We love you and we praise your mighty name. And we thank you, Father God. And if you're all in right now, say, all in, Jesus. Let's give him praise. Father God, I pray that you send everybody home well, Father God. And I pray for the people that are online right now that they receive this message also. And church, amen. You're dismissed. Thank you, guys.